It's time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is one of your hosts, Amanda Teagarden, in studio with my co-host, Don Wyatt.
Glad to be here, as always. It's another start of official summer here, so it's a great day to talk about water.
It is a great day. We are broadcasting from Tulsa, Oklahoma, supposedly the reddest of the red state, but maybe we will be the parched of the parched. I'm not sure. It's pretty warm, and we did get some rain the other day.
It's still better than the Dust Bowl days that my dad told me about when he was a kid.
Yes, it is, and it will rain again. And OKSafe is OK-Safe.com. That's Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise, and that's our website, OK-Safe.com. Our other website, which is dedicated to a single subject, is ExposingHealthcareReform.com, and it does just that. It tells the truth about healthcare reform in Oklahoma. And if you go to that website and start looking around, you're going to see a lot of things that happened in your state as well.
Absolutely.
And it's usable as a template for other states. Yep. And it's a website that's in progress, Don.
That's right.
We're still adding things there.
But you can probably.
It always will be, unfortunately.
Yeah.
A lot of information there about the stimulus bill, which was the real health care reform
that's
law.
That's right.
And what the people call Obamacare, which is really the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And the state of Oklahoma has been busy implementing all the provisions of that law and using the stimulus money to do so.
That's right.
And your state has too, even if your legislators say they're fighting Obamacare.
Yeah, it's really frustrating to watch the hypocrisy of the rhetoric, isn't it?
It is, and it has, but it's a campaign issue.
It is.
And it's getting a lot of attention on both sides of it.
And we're right on the verge of a Supreme Court announcement, so we don't know the answer to that yet, but it is imminent, so it'll be interesting.
As of the date of this recording,
yeah, right.
By the time this is aired, which will
probably
be later today, though, but a decision will have been rendered. And I will tell you, Don, and you already know this, whether or not the individual mandate is determined to be constitutional,
right,
the exchanges will continue.
Yeah, there's actually four legal issues to be resolved in that case. It's like four cases in one, and the individual mandate is the one that we hear the most about, but that's not the only issue being adjudicated. And so they'll ultimately have the responsibility of approving the entire package, throwing out the entire package, or carving out some strange filet mignon out of the meat that they look at on those that legislation. So it'll be interesting to see what the outcome is.
The outcome for the people is still bad either way.
That's true. That is true. The damage has already been done, and it's hard to even figure out how to undo it. It's a bell that's been rung, and how do you unring the bell?
I think the solution is to take your business to doctors that aren't participating in the electronic health record system.
Yeah.
And they are out there.
They are. And there'll probably be more in the near future.
Yeah, all those doctors that are going to leave this system, they're going to have to set up shop someplace else.
That's right.
And maybe they'll do it right here in our state, and we'll give them a lot of business. Don, you have a website, too?
We do, boondoggleblog.com. I encourage people to take a look at that. You talk about the healthcare issues being ubiquitous and universal. So are the tax issues that we've been addressing in Boondoggle Blog. If you start studying your local county or city governments, I'll guarantee you're going to find some of the same exact stuff that we're finding, and for exactly the same reasons. Governance has been switched to authorities, boards, commissions, and trusts. And in doing that, they're eliminating transparency, they're eliminating access, they're eliminating accountability, and it's run amok.
You used the word governance. Did you mean government?
I meant governance on purpose, because that's my way of saying this isn't government anymore.
It's governance.
Exactly.
By experts, unelected.
Exactly.
And accountable to no one.
Exactly. Referencing our memory of a recent show we did on technocracy and all of its hideous byproducts.
Well, don't you think government should be run more like a business? We're all told that.
We hear that an awful lot, and it's frustrating to me, because I've been in business, and I know the expectations, responsibilities, and the game rules of business, and And as a business owner and entrepreneur myself, I certainly don't want to exchange my role at the top of or at the bottom of business for a misunderstanding of what governance is all about. Our forefathers gave us a nation in which the power resides at the bottom. Sovereignty is with the individual citizen, and that's not the way businesses operate. Sovereignty is with the shareholders or the presidents or board of directors. You can name somebody, but they're going to be at the top. They're not at the bottom. And anytime they try to turn government into business, they're trying to turn the sovereignty upside down, and there's nothing good that ever comes from it.
The businesses that I have been associated with and I have been in management, is the object is to control costs and make money.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely not the role of government.
Nope. I love the line that says that, you know, if only men were angels, we'd have no need of government. And once you remember that, then you realize how fundamentally different government is than business. The goal of business is to grow, expand, conquer the marketplace, take market share, all of those things. And that's well and good. And it's part of the free enterprise system, which is part of what OK Safe is lobbying for. Absolutely. But the other aspect of that deals with the sovereignty, which is the flip side of that. And in business, there is no sovereignty issue. There's a guy that says you're fired and you're fired. Whereas in government, the role is, well, I guess we're almost getting there. I'd like to fire some of those politicians, but that's the other issue altogether.
That is, and they do need to be fired. So none of the incumbents who are running for re-election need to be returned, because, Don, you know that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results.
Exactly.
So even if you like them and they go to church on Sunday and they're pleasant and call you Mrs. or Mr., you have to vote them out.
And even if they know the birth dates of your kids,
you still have to vote them out.
We had one of the things I learned that was made a big impact on me in my early college years. I was majoring in political science, and there were studies already then done about how unpopular Congress was. We think this lack of popularity in Congress is a brand new phenomenon, but it's not. It's been with us for decades and decades, long before the 70s. And one of the things we learned was, much to our astonishment, people in general hated Congress in general, but every person in particular thought his congressman was a really good guy. And it was a phenomena we studied and analyzed and assessed, and I walked away ultimately wondering, what does this mean? I don't understand. They always think that their guy's the exception. He's the good guy, and yet we've been watching voting records of our elected representatives, and they often don't represent us or what they said they were when they were elected.
If you watch what they do and the actual effects of the law, not what the intent is, but the effect of the law, it doesn't matter what they say. The law is what we live with.
That's right.
And they'll say anything.
Yep. And there you're dealing with the whole issue of expected and unexpected consequences. And those are a wealth of interest for study or for rumination, because I think that we've reached a stage where it doesn't matter who's making the laws or what letters behind their name. They do the same stuff because the same bureaucrats are feeding them the same lines.
The same corporate interests.
Exactly.
And we've seen that revealed in the primary election season that we're in right now in Oklahoma,
right,
with all of the several incumbents, and these are Republicans,
right,
all campaigned against Obamacare and said they were a conservative. By golly, they've all drawn opponents, as they should,
yep,
because more and more people were actually looking at the laws that they were passing, and by golly, the state budget is larger than it's ever been,
yep,
and it's all Republican majority.
Yep.
And
they were totally unable to cut some taxes, which they had promised, because the bottom line is
nothing they promised,
exactly,
has transpired. And
mm-hmm,
they can't blame the Democrats because it's all Republican.
That's right. Republican House, Republican Senate, and Republican governor. They kept telling us, well, if we just had the governor, then we could fix it. If we just had the Senate, then we could fix it. So,
oh, they're fixing it all right.
Yeah, they are.
They're stripping us of liberty and lining the pockets of their corporate friends.
Yeah, what we used to say is same song, second verse.
They are. The good thing that's come out of this is, because a lot of these candidates are fighting dirty, the corporate interests, the creation of PACs and the direction of money, all of that's reported on the Oklahoma Ethics Commission campaign reporting website, and you can go there and see. the thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars that have been dedicated to returning specific incumbents because they benefit those certain corporate interests. It's always good. Truth is being revealed, and we're actually getting the names of the people to whom the Oklahoma legislature are indebted.
Yeah, yeah.
And the candidates that they are considering their go-to guys.
It's astonishing to me that you can take a candidate running for Senate in a race that is, let's say, reasonably contested, and he's already sitting on a bankroll of $150,000, and we've only got 5 days left, and he's holding a fundraiser with some really big, heavy hitters, including a major Obama bundler that's extraordinarily powerful in this state. His name is Kaiser. A Cylindra fame.
The bundler is Kaiser.
The bundler is Kaiser.
Senator Dan Newberry of Senate District 37.
Exactly. And why does a guy sitting on $100 million with 5 days left to go need a fundraiser?
$100,000. You said $100 million. It's $100,000.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah.
He's not
that much money. But the astonishing thing, he'd only spent $30,000 in the last quarter, and that may be a lot to spend, but what's he need the rest of that money for? I don't understand.
And why is he so special?
Yeah.
That George Kaiser, you're right, Obama came to Oklahoma just to get more money from Kaiser.
That's right.
So Kaiser supports both Barack Obama and Senator Dan Newberry, who campaigned as a Christian conservative, limited government kind of guy.
But it helps you understand why Newberry's votes related to health care have all been the opposite of what we begged him to do.
Exactly. So, isn't there that Kaiser Family Foundation healthcare reports?
Yeah, that's the one that Obama keeps quoting about how many people are not going to be on insurance. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting race, isn't it?
It is. And there's several interesting ones.
But he
just
has
like
an
that.
Opponent that's a real guy, that's a real grassroots.
We've had
friend.
Him on this show
Mark
a
Croucher.
Couple times.
Mark Croucher. Yeah. Good guy. The real deal, a real conservative in that race, and taking no money from George Kaiser. All right. The reason for today's program, Don, and you and I have discussed this before, this is the year 2012, and Oklahoma has faced some dry seasons.
Right, right.
But it does rain again.
Sure.
We're living in green country. There are trees. It does rain, and it will rain again.
That's right.
But what happened in this Republican-led legislature is one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation that OK Safe has ever come across. One that is called the House Bill 3055, and it is entitled the Water for 2060 Act. And this was signed by Governor Mary Fallon, who was a U.S. Congresswoman and came back to Oklahoma to run for governor. Lieutenant governor before that and a representative before that, has signed this on May 21st.
This is some astonishing legislation. And you read it out loud to a group, and when you stop at the end of the sentence, they just laugh at you because
can't possibly be true.
Yeah, the essence of it is.
you would never think that this came out of anybody with an R behind their name, because this is incredibly, it's just astonishing. So what does House Bill 3055 say? Well, it creates new law. And it says the legislature hereby declares that in order to protect Oklahoma citizens from increased water supply shortages and groundwater depletions by the year 2060 in this state, I'll get into the details in a little bit. The public policy of this state is to establish and work toward a goal of consuming no more fresh water in the year 2060 than is consumed statewide in the year 2012.
Yeah, 50 years of growth and no more water. I like that.
And here's the next astonishing statement. While continuing to grow the population and economy of the state and to achieve this goal through utilizing existing water supplies more efficiently and expanding the use of alternative, such as wastewater, brackish water, and other non-potable supplies.
Yeah.
Potable means non-drinking water. So what they're saying is that by the year 2060 in the state of Oklahoma, even if we have increased population and we're going to have a better economy, we can use no more fresh water than we're using in 2012.
It's about as arbitrary a set of standards as you could ever dream up that reminds you of cap and trade and a bunch of other really strange regulatory strategies, which are designed designed really to accomplish something totally different. It has nothing to do with water, but that's a different story we'll get into in just a minute.
Well, 2012 is not even over with.
Yeah, that's right.
And why 2012? But it did have to be a 50-year plan. This happens to be 48 years. But that's considered two generations of people are bound, legally bound, to consume no more water than in that year than they are this year.
So I'm guessing that the year 2059 will be a really good year, and in 2060 everybody will have to leave the state.
You know what? What if next year, and it will rain again? It will rain again a whole bunch. This is a temporary thing. It is always, it's cyclic.
Sure, always.
It does. But we're stuck with 2012, whatever it is, whether it rains or not the rest of the year. Rain or shine, we are stuck with this as law. So what this means then, if immediately, what first concept comes to your mind?
Rationing.
Mm-hmm. Whether we need it or not. So if it's raining outside and it's rained for 40 days and 40 nights, your water is still going to be rationed.
That's right.
Because the laws...
Can't use it, so now what do you do with it?
Somebody will benefit from it, but it won't be you, and you won't be able to take the long shower that you wanted because you will have a quota of freshwater usage that you will be allotted, that you will be allowed to use, and there were accompanying bills to go with this. But this thing amazingly passed. And it passed... it failed the first time in the Senate. This originated in the House. And the House passed it. I'm just sickened by this, that the House of Representatives in the state of Oklahoma, the reddest of the red state, passed this law, and most of the people voted for it. Representative Sally Kern voted no on it every single time. You got the House votes there?
I do.
And
well, some of our friends that we do support from this area voted correctly on this. David Brumbaugh voted correctly on it. As you mentioned, Sally Kern voted correctly. Mike Ritz and Mike Reynolds. They were in the minority. I mean, you're talking about a 65-23 vote supporting this. It's just amazing to me.
Well, and you know they count the votes before they run the bill to make sure that they have enough support to get the bill passed, and so they did.
Yep.
Now, this state has had plenty of opportunity to understand the concept of sustainable development, the idea from Agenda 21, and the idea of enforced restrictions of access to Earth's resources. Are limiting.
The rewilding and all of that.
The rewilding and the densification of the urban core. So you're going to have more people densified into the urban cities. And typically we only have a couple in the state of Oklahoma. We're pretty spread out. Mm. We're not overpopulated. But in some cities, it's getting to feel like you're overpopulated because they're being forced into what Michael Shaw calls stack 'em and pack 'em development.
Right.
More people per square mile.
Right.
And it's easier to control their water usage because you've got most of the people in a controlled environment.
Let's say
you've got 170 people in an apartment complex, and that apartment complex gets, in total, regardless of the family side, that set amount of water.
Right.
Guess what they can do for the entire complex?
Yep.
Shut it off.
That's right. Yeah, and it's ironic in Arizona, where I came from and spent most of my adult life, water was a colossal issue. It was the essence of most politics in the West. And when you ask me what's my first thought, and I said rationing, almost an instant simultaneous thought was the cost of the infrastructure for delivery, because it's clear that what they're going to be doing with this is forcing us to use non-potable water, which means all of the recycled water and all of those kinds of issues. And what you run into there is those require separate infrastructure systems, and this is a 50-year plan for an infrastructure that by definition is only expected to last 30 years. So we're going to have to go through at least two generations of infrastructure to fill that 50-year window, which I don't know how they can do any reasonable planning about this. It's kind of a pipe dream, silly one at that, I think.
It is, and it's interesting. Well, the entity that proposed this legislation is called the Oklahoma Water Resources Board. And this board was created by law in the early 70s and has been around. And all of the members of the board are appointed by the governor and approved by the Senate. And that's in Oklahoma Title 82, Water and Water Rights, if you're interested in looking these things up. It's Oklahoma Statutes, Title 82, Water and Water Rights. And if you look up Chapter 14, Section 1085.1, you can see the details and the history of it in the role of the Water Resources Board. Mm-hmm. Well, you and I, Don, have had people on, as our guests in talking about FEMA being in the state in 2011, 2010, I think also, and remapping the state, designating some people's property, property that had never flooded, as flood zone A.
Right.
FEMA was working with the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, and they have been looking at the all of the water supply in the state of Oklahoma for about 5 years, but they were partnered with the U.S. Corps of Engineers and FEMA. Well, FEMA is a very interesting organization. We knew an individual. He's since passed away, but we did know an individual who actually volunteered and worked for them, and when he was done with his stint, he came out of that, and he said that is the scariest organization he has ever encountered. Those people are frightening in there, and
Frightening because?
Because you are, as a volunteer, you go through certain training. I'm trying to be careful here.
Indoctrination
and certain training. And you are ultimately, eventually sworn to secrecy at the threat of almost your life if you reveal what that FEMA actually does.
They impose a perspective that is pretty foreign to us normal taxpaying citizens, I think.
The word he uses, intimidating. And they intimidated those people. And the apparently, this is a quote from an individual who had a conversation with the FEMA rep here in Oklahoma. Whose authority is he operating? He says, our own authority.
Our own. That's right.
There is no authority above FEMA, so they don't report to anybody. Now, when you have an entity that is a law in and of and unto itself, you have a rogue agency.
Nothing to fear here, folks.
No.
Move along. Nothing to see.
And by designating property flood zone A requires the purchase of flood insurance. There's only one place you can get flood insurance, and that is through FEMA.
But that's the trivial part. It gives them access to taking control of your property. That's the real sinister part of it. They'll end up declaring it part of their wetlands controls.
Which they have.
Yep.
Conservation easements, part of a stream of water, restricting your use to water that rightfully is yours because it is in your ground, below your feet. Or crossing your property. So there are water laws that do apply and do protect you as a citizen, but FEMA can intimidate people enough to the point where they believe that they have no rights.
That's right.
That the water actually belongs to somebody else.
We're almost at the bottom of the first segment, and we want to talk more about that report because there's some specific questions I want to help ensure that you answer for everybody. But we're also going to talk about gray water. Boy, what a charming subject. So,
don't you want to drink gray water?
Well, one of the things that has always astonished me, we live on a beautiful God-given planet here that is 6/7 water. Why on earth do we think water is an issue?
it
just boggles my mind.
We're always trying to get more pure water, right? Everybody wants to get a water purification system, drink filtered water.
Just did that, as a matter of fact, but that's a different story.
We want to have those things, and we know that you want to water your plants with clear, fresh water because that's systemically introduced into the plant, and the dirt and the water that's used to water the plants actually becomes part of what you eat. So you want everything to be fresh and clean and whatever.
It flies in the face of the organic notion, doesn't it?
It does. This is a little too rustic for me, but what gray water, do we have enough time to give 1 minute? I'll give you the definition of gray water, then we can get into it more. Gray water is wastewater generated from domestic activities such as laundry, dishwashing, and bathing, which can be recycled on site for uses such as landscape irrigation and constructed wetlands. Then just take your when the 10 kids are done in the bathtub, just get your bucket and take that and scoop that out there, and then you can go water the vegetables. And the irony, these people are schizophrenic when they decide this, because they also have something called non-point source pollution.
That's right.
Which gives them the right to come on your property to look for that kind of stuff. It's like, so you can do it and you can't do it.
That's right. You have to do it and you can't do it.
You have to do it and you can't do it. And we all know we know exactly what we're doing.
That's right. Exactly.
That's the music indicating the end of the first half of America in the Balance on Truth and Focus Internet Radio. This is your host, Amanda Teagarden, in studio with Don Wyatt. And stick around for a very short break.
To promote your business on the internet, the Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio@truthinfocus.org.
Rain and snow come down and they hit the ground, soaking to the earth, for they hang around in puddles or lakes. They evaporate up into the clouds where they condensate. Boy, it's cold up there, but they're unaware as they grab some dust and return to us. They precipitate on land and lakes. It's the water cycle. Ain't it great? Rain and snow come down and they hit the ground, soaking to the earth, or they hang around in puddles or lakes. They evaporate up into the clouds where they condensate. Boy, it's cold up there, but they're unaware as they grab some dust and return to us. They precipitate on land and lakes. It's the water cycle. Ain't it great?
And welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with Don White. And Don, maybe the legislators should have heard that song before they signed this bill.
They would have understood it then. It just clarifies everything. I love that song. You've outdone yourself finding that.
It was just amazing. It's like, oh, some science guys put that together, and it's a way to teach kids the water cycle.
I love it.
And it's like, you know, and...
big words and everything.
Big words and everything. Condensation, yeah, precipitation.
There you go.
But it's not that hard to understand. A molecule of water is H2O, right?
There you go.
In order to destroy water, you're going to have what is it, a nuclear? You're going to have to...
Well, you can do it with electrolysis, but usually they do it with something a whole lot bigger and stronger, yes.
But we're not actually destroying molecules of water, and it either is a solid, a liquid, a gas, right? Or plasma. Somebody's like, don't talk to me about plasma, but it's a solid, liquid, or gas. And it still exists.
That's
every
right.
bit of water, as Michael Shaw was saying, it's still here someplace.
That's right.
And it's not that it's gone. And the human body can do the same thing. We're mostly made out of water. You drink water, and then your body eliminates water.
Exactly.
But it still exists.
Sure.
So to think that we have to restrict water usage because it's gone this just defies logic that this bill was even passed,
and
that you can restrict people, as you said at the beginning of the hour, to an arbitrary year, an arbitrary number,
yep,
for no reason.
That's right.
And so
fixing a problem that wasn't real in the first place. That reminds me of global warming.
That's an issue we're going to have to get to, yeah, again. But the gray water is House Bill 3055 is not the only bill that got passed.
I know. This is the year of the water.
The year of the water, and they passed a couple of other pieces of legislation that went with it. And one is...
tell us about the gray water.
This is called gray water, and this was enrolled House Bill 2835 by Representative Scott Martin of the House and Marlatt and Fields in the Senate. Senator Eddie Fields' name is on all these water bills.
Yeah, right.
And so what this is, House Bill 2835 is a new law. The Department of Environmental Quality shall not require a permit for applying less than 250 gallons of water, Don, per day, of private residential gray water, as the governor calling.
I knew I forgot something. I was.
Tell
often,
her you'll
often.
Call her later. Okay,
yeah.
20 gallons of per day, 250 gallons of water per day, of private residential gray water originating from a residence for the household, gardening, composting, or landscape irrigation of the resident, if. Constructed gray water distribution system. Oh, gosh. You mean we have to buy something?
Yeah, surprise.
We're getting to the crux of the whole issue here. You got to buy something from somebody.
This will be green jobs, too, won't it?
I bet it is.
Even if it's gray.
Even if it's gray, but it's green. Constructed gray water distribution system provides for overflow into the sewer system or on-site wastewater treatment and disposal system.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. That's one of the things that you have to be careful about, right?
Uh-huh. Or on-site. Yeah, so now we get to be little mini water recyclers in our house.
Can you see an infrastructure of bureaucracy to supervise all this?
I'm just going to add a pump out of the bathtub. stick it in my backyard garden.
There you go.
Okay, gray water. Can you imagine what people actually wash their dishes with and their laundry detergent? You know, well, what if you work at a shop and you've got grease on your clothes, and now you've got grease and bleach in that water?
Not to gross you out, but in Arizona, 40 years ago, we used to run the outlet pipe from our dishwasher, I mean our laundry washer, our clothes washer, right onto the plants. That was normal. Everybody did that. That wasn't in a
well. That was Arizona.
City. I know, because what it would evaporate what didn't sink in, and it was gone in about 5 minutes. And I mean, it was a non-issue. That's just
did things grow?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah. The potassium in the detergent does great for plants. It's like fertilizer.
Is potassium still in detergent? Are you talking phosphates?
Well, this was a long time ago.
Phosphates.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah. Phosphates, they've taken phosphates out. That's why the detergent doesn't work anymore. You don't do the dishes at your house, do you?
You're right.
The dishes get cleaned because they took the phosphates out. Okay.
Right.
Then this goes on to say a gray water storage tank is covered to restrict access and to eliminate habitat for mosquitoes and other vectors. Now I know what's going to be in the code enforcement to make sure that your gray water waste treatment distribution system is now going to have to be inspected by the city.
Of course.
Or the state.
And the wildlife department, probably.
To make sure you're doing it properly.
Yeah.
Gray water, it goes on to say gray water is vertically separated at least 5 feet above the groundwater table.
Now
by golly, you're going to have an inspector just like you do for the hot water tank.
No doubt.
Gray water pressure piping is clearly identified as non-potable water conduit.
New pipes.
Just
be it from Home Depot. Got to be special pipes.
New home construction. See it. I used to do pre-closing walkthroughs. They're going to have an inspector to come out because they'll have to add this to the building.
That's right.
Beforehand, so they can reuse the gray water.
You can sell your old home, you'd probably have to add it, too.
To retrofit?
Yeah, don't you think?
Gray water is used on-site where it is generated and does not run off the property lines. My neighbors
water
are
doesn't
down.
Run, does it?
Water runs downhill. Tulsa's not flat.
So you have to buy in the bottom now instead of on the top. You can't buy high view lots anymore because your water will run off your property.
Have you driven around? There's no way. Number 7, gray water is applied in a manner that minimizes the potential for contact with people or domestic pets. Yes, this is Oklahoma, and we actually passed this bill.
I'm sorry. And it keeps on going. She's not done yet.
8, ponding.
It's not sprayed.
Ponding is prohibited. Application of gray water is managed to minimize standing water. You will not be able to water your own property now without a permit and training
because
you won't know how to do it right.
And supervision and licensing and who knows what.
Gray water is not sprayed, just like you said. Gray water is not discharged to a waterway. Gray water used within municipalities.
It becomes a waterway as soon as it's discharged, doesn't it? Isn't that their definition of a waterway?
Well, you know, when it's dry and it rains, then rivulets, you know, those little things form.
Yeah.
It automatically goes downhill.
Exactly.
With towels. Sop that water up.
Building little dams with your shovel.
Oh, my God. Okay, a gray water storage system which complies with the provisions of this section may allow for rainwater to be introduced in the system. Oh, I'm sure that
now,
California restricted rainwater
the implication
in Colorado.
Of that, the implication of that is that rainwater is no cleaner or more useful for human purposes than gray water, and that's insulting to me.
My brother lives in Colorado, and what they passed a law in Colorado saying that you could not capture the rainwater off your gutters for your gardens.
And that's because it belongs to everyone.
It belongs
common,
to everybody.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Immediately, it's like, okay, I'm getting a big barrel, and we're capturing the water. You can't tell people not to capture rainwater that comes off your house. Okay, then there was another bill that was passed, and this is by Representative Richardson. That poor guy passes a lot of bad bills. And Senator Brian Crane, who joined in on this one, and Senator Eddie Fields. Again, Eddie Fields' name is on all
Everyone.
These bad bills.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So this is enrolled House Joint Resolution 1085. So this means that this will be on the ballot in Oklahoma in November of this year. And it says the Water Infrastructure Credit Enhancement Reserve Fund. So we're creating a fund for so that the Oklahoma Water Resources Board can loan out more water.
Yep, that's right.
So now let's go back to the Oklahoma Water Resources Board. And I think you were going to talk about that. You were asking me about the source of this.
Exactly. This is a fascinating document that we got our hands on. You've got it in hard copy. I've got it in electronic copy. But you look back on what I guess is Section 2, page 145, where it lists the sources. And you've done some analysis on this that is very insightful. When you get a big book like this that is supposed to be based on science and the best thinking of experts in the field, you would expect that they would reference such experts. But boy,
I looked through this book. I went down to the Oklahoma Water Resources Board and got a hard copy. You can find this online, as you've indicated, Don. And it's the Water Resources Board website, by the way, is owrb.ok.gov.
Right.
Oklahoma Water Resources Board at owrb.ok.gov. And you can see a copy of this report and a list of meetings. And you can attend the meetings and all the details about it and the planning basins that were created. And Don, we're going to have to talk about regionalism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so you go back to the anyway, so it's a beautiful full-color brochure book. And by the way, the science that this is all based on is climate change.
Of course.
And it's clearly stated in here.
Yep.
And we all know how accurate the climate change...
Unassailable.
Unassailable.
Science is settled.
The science is settled. Well, this is all based on the Al Gore type concept of man-made global warming or climate change.
Right.
And now they're very careful to call it climate change and not really saying that it's man-made or anthropogenic, but that because of climate change is happening, we're going to restrict human activity.
Exactly.
And that's the science that this is based on. And now, if you go back to the sources, as you were getting the point to, if you go to page 45 of the executive report, there are listing here about 35 or 40 different sources. And by golly, this is the Oklahoma Water Resources Board. And Don, guess who? They all their sources are them.
They like themselves a lot, don't they?
They like themselves a whole bunch.
So you write a book 1 year, and the next year you quote it, and all of a sudden now the third year you quote both of them, and now you've got a real piece of science material.
What they did is the Oklahoma Water Resources Board commissioned reports.
That's true, too.
And so you have commissioned climate impacts to stream flow commissioned by the Oklahoma Water Resources Board as a supplement. The other ones, they've got 10 sources here where they partnered with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and there's some fine people working for the Corps of Engineers. You do need people, real engineers, watching the water pressure behind the dams and releasing it. There's a science behind that.
There is.
But the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, this is going to be like FEMA and the Bureau of Land Management.
They're evolving in that direction.
They are. This is all federally controlled.
Yep.
And then you also see that they created four working groups, just like Obamacare. There were four working groups that were created to develop the policy, or not four, but there were work groups created to create the policy and the technology. And who made up those working groups were people with vested interest in the products that would be sold as a result of the passage of the bill.
Exactly. Identify a problem and then propose to solve the problem. That's the nature of politics and big business in these public-private partnerships.
So these board members, by the way, are all, that's the Lord sending down some songs. And...
I like
that. So I'm going to call the governor back, and we're hearing music.
Is that because of the song we played at the bottom of the hour?
They want a copy. I didn't know the water cycle. Okay. They had four working groups. As you can tell, this is a serious subject, but we just can't believe that this thing got past the state of Oklahoma. And when we get to near the end of the hour, we do have a recommended action on this. But they commissioned it. And they partnered with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And I can only find one report out of almost 40 here that's not right. I'm looking at the details. None of these were unbiased reports.
Exactly.
And one of them was also a bank
That's right.
Where is that again? I got to find that bank.
We were looking at that earlier. And it's another case where the the board commissioned the bank to identify some
funding sources, additional funding sources. So now we got a bank involved in this, because not only can the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, again, these are all members appointed by the governor and approved by the Senate.
Not elected, not accountable.
Unelected, unaccountable. And they can make rules and regulations that the rest of us have to live by.
They can borrow and
so they identify the problem. They source themselves for the research.
Right.
The research, the science that is referenced has to do with climate change, the concept of climate change. And then once they say that you have to meet these mandates, if you need to do infrastructure improvement, by golly, they have the bank system, the loan, and the mechanism by which you can institute this infrastructure to meet their plans that they reference themselves.
Yep.
And they're past legislation, which is what that revolving fund is for, is to expand what they can offer grants. Now, like other things, I said grants, grant money is available. Grants always come with a strings attached, because they are a contract.
Yep.
And so you see, this is, there are no accidents in politics.
Nope.
These are policy issues that are decided.
They are.
But all the marketing for this is about, we're going to, this is the most comprehensive water plan in this, in the country, and this is great. We're going to preserve our water. Well, no, you're not. You're restricting and rationing for the financial benefit of certain technology companies that will come in to solve the problem.
Absolutely.
And this is a pattern of behavior every legislature engages in.
Sure.
There aren't real problems. Donna, we probably haven't gone into much detail on this, but we'll have a conversation someday. I don't think we have an economy that's actually based on actually manufacturing and producing and actually doing anything. I think we have economies that are made because the legislature, an industry.
Simulated need economies.
Simulated need economy. And I think that's what we actually have.
It certainly feels that way. If only we could revert back to our lemonade stands, maybe there would be an opportunity for true free enterprise. But we can't even do that anymore.
Go back and look at the C1R reports, the Ethics Commission, all those that the money. It's a short list of people that have contributed thousands and thousands of dollars to return the incumbents to the legislature. And you can see whose interests are paramount in this state.
Right.
And it's not you and I. It's not the people that they are elected to serve. House members represent roughly 35,000 people back home. The Senate, each of those districts represent a larger number of people.
Right.
But in point of fact, in reality, their interests, they're actually representing the interests of very few people.
Yeah, they represent their funders instead of their constituents.
They do.
Yeah. Now, and it's ironic that the funders are all on board with this. It continues to astonish me that the funders, the businesses, would want this sort of thing, because even if it does help to shelter artificial monopolies, it's still not healthy for business. So the free enterprise would that we try to protect is not benefiting from this approach in governance, I don't think.
Speaking of governance, the plan breaks the state up into water planning regions.
That's exactly right. We got to talk about that. This is not done in a vacuum. This isn't just to control the way you dispose of your water out of the washing machine. This is a much bigger idea and a bigger plan, and it deals with regionalizing.
It does have to do with regional governance, and Kay Beach and Howard Houchin on Axiom for Liberty did a great job exposing the concept of regionalism in these water regional planning districts that were created. I'm not sure if that bill passed. I think it did.
I think so. Yeah.
I think it passed, and we'll have to get them interviewed on this.
That'd be good.
But the move toward regional governance and to give them voting power and the governing the ability to make laws for a particular region by creating this a separate region within a region.
And here's their rationale or the strategy that makes that work. They start out by saying, this is going to be terribly expensive because we're going to have to infill with a whole new infrastructure for water in order to handle the gray water, for example. And that's a lot of money, and every little town and every little community doesn't have enough money to do that. So what you need to do is you need to band together with other communities and form a region regional governance, and then you could afford to provide all of this monitoring and measuring and all the stuff that will go with it. The goal of regional government is pretty simple in my estimation, and that is to ensure that global governance is not hindered. Regional is the way that you bypass local government, you bypass local accountability, and now you got groups that are no longer accountable and are in control. They can dictate the way policy is set.
They can dictate it, and we're losing representation. We're losing a traditional form of government where it's being replaced by a completely different structure. Yep. When that happens, you no longer have recourse, just as you said, because there is nobody that's actually accountable. And it is more like a business model where that's you've broken down into divisions.
That's right. And regional governance was, incidentally, exactly the form of government chosen by the former USSR. That's the way they operated.
Charlotte Isserby, I think, is the author of a great article called Regionalism is Communism.
That's right.
And you can't get much more blunt than that. And of course, you can't talk to legislators about communism because they put you into conspiracy theory land, but that's their protective response. That's not actually intellectual discourse with them and that's understanding what's actually happening.
Right.
I have found that when we've been lobbying that ignorance is rampant at the legislature, and that is a protective mechanism.
It is. Before we run out of time, I think it would be great for us to slide on into the corrective action or the strategies that might be available to us, since this is already passed, it's already law, it's already been signed by the governor. What can we do then?
We have, this is in the state of Oklahoma, we have recourse.
Several states do, but not all.
Not all. So we're broadcasting from Oklahoma, so we'll be talking about Oklahoma law and what you can, if you have a similar piece of legislation that here's how it works in Oklahoma.
It's in our Constitution, by the way. Yeah, that's where
you can take it to a vote of the people to undo what the legislature has done. Typically, if a bad bill makes it to the governor's desk, the governor should veto it.
Sure.
Okay. Your first line of defense is your own representative, and they should have voted these bills down
in committee or in the full vote.
Exactly. They have
or in the other house.
In the other chamber.
Yeah.
But it passed through both committees on both sides and both chambers, and it did make it to the governor. She signed it.
Yeah.
So she failed to do the job of protecting the people of Oklahoma. So what is the next recourse? Well, the people are the actual authority in the state if they will exercise that opportunity, that right. And so they had the opportunity, what's called veto referendum.
Right.
And this is a little known law, and it's under Title 34 in Oklahoma statute. And it's under initiative and referendum.
Right.
And what we can do is actually take it to the vote of the people, and you can reverse a particular bill.
That's right.
Or the actual initiative petition is you start
create a law.
Yeah. Or amend the Constitution if you get enough signatures. That's
an
initiative petition. That's a recourse.
Right.
The other one is for the state is to veto a particular law.
Right.
Now, you've got 90 days after the end of session, and I have to get it clear in my mind, is it the session you just ended or is it a 2-year session? If it's 2 years, then we can go back to 2011 and pick up some bad bills there.
Right.
But let's say it's just 2012 for the sake of argument.
We meet for a 2-year session.
We have a two-year legislative session.
Right.
So at 90 days, you have enough time then to find a particular piece of legislation that you object to. We have found one. The people have found one. There's probably a lot of other ones out there, but it has to be single subject. And then you can take that initiative. You can take that statement to the Attorney General and say, this is the referendum, initiative that
we're going to challenge.
Yes, that we're going to challenge, that they verify the language like that. And then after that, once it's filed and certified, you've got 90 days to collect, I think, roughly 55 or 56,000 signatures, which is half what you need for an initiative petition.
Or a third, actually.
A third. Yeah, it's a lot easier to do.
Right.
So if you go to Title 34 and look under initiative and referendum, if you look in there, it says petition for referendum, and it's section 1, and it says to the honorable, and you put in the name of the governor.
Gives you the form to fill out.
Right. It's basically a form, and the people respectfully order that Senate or House bill number, and there's a slot for you to put in the number for or ordinance, if it's a city ordinance, okay, entitled.
And then its name, like the gray water.
Yeah. May be referred to the people of the state of Oklahoma for their approval or rejection.
Right.
Now, there's the word. It's not veto. It would be rejection.
Right.
So you can reject that bill
right.
that was passed, and that way we can take the water bill to a vote of the people.
Right.
And everybody, Don, that I've talked to, I've spoken in Holdenville about this. I've spoken in Ada yeah. and some other communities. The minute, and I think you said Randy
yep.
Harris has talked
yep.
to groups
yep.
about it.
That's right.
The minute the public hears the language in the bill, it is immediately,
yeah.
where do I sign?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's ridiculous.
Right.
And I know that the Indians have a vested interest. We have 39 recognized tribes in the state of Oklahoma,
right.
and the tribes have a vested interest in things. And I don't want to get into what the tribes' interests are, whether they're honorable or not, or what their issue. I respect anybody that's going after their own sovereignty, because we should all be fighting for that.
Right.
So we can take a lesson from the Indians. But
right.
The concept is that the water that's on your property and under your feet belongs to you.
Right.
And that where a government can come in and start to ration it, or say you're restricted to a certain number of gallons or whatever it is, as you mentioned,
right.
to an arbitrary number
right.
for the next two generations.
Right. Or more.
It will take monitoring to do that.
Of course.
And they've already put in monitoring systems in some of the waters and
they
streams.
Have.
Now, a stream could be anything as little as a trickle of water that goes across your property. That's considered a stream.
Yep. And that's part of their regulatory wetlands areas. Yeah.
Yes. And yep. we've been passing legislation, unfortunately, for the last couple of years dealing with water
yep.
And giving enforcement agencies more rights to more water.
Right.
Not just the lakes and streams. I think Lake Patrol was called now Water Patrol.
I think that's true.
Not just lakes, it's water.
And the whole idea of the inland waterways and all those things are now becoming part of international waterlands. The regulatory, the maritime laws that are applying to it is all changing. There's strange stuff going on.
Well, it has an intent, though.
That's true.
And if you look at, we have covered technocracy extensively, but if you go to the technocracy book, the North American Technique, yeah, the study guide, if you look at that, which we have, mm-hmm. if you look at that, it talks about balancing
That's
production
right.
and consumption of Earth's resources
That's
and
right.
controlling the energy used and consumed to balance that.
Right.
Well, those resources include people and the water and anything that's in and of the earth,
yep.
the plants that are on it, to have a balance. That's the concept on which sustainable development is based.
That's right.
Came out of the 30s. It didn't
yep.
start with the UN. They're
right.
just an advocate. And here this concept of is regulating and controlled by a technate or groups of engineers and scientists or those with...
Smart guy.
Influential. People who have a vested interest in regulating this. When I see this monitoring of water, I immediately know that we're going to go to something like the smart grid.
There you go.
And the smart meters
yep.
regulating and monitoring energy consumption
yep.
or electricity will have the same thing, same kind of technology
yep.
to regulate and monitor and control water consumption.
How much water goes down your drain during your shower? They'll know.
They'll know. Ken Sellers, who is the president of OK Safe, had an opportunity to spend quite a bit of time in Korea
right.
and has told the story of living in those apartments over there or staying there. And that, too, has a controlled water consumption
right.
and electricity. And there would be times of the day where it would just become gray because they turned down the electric. And also the water would shut off, and the people would just have to say, well, the water's off for today.
No water.
That's it.
Yeah, we used to run into that in some of the rural areas in Mexico that we used to go down to from Arizona
really?
for outings and recreation. Yeah, the electricity would go off. Okay, no water.
I have family members who are travel agents, or have that as a business, and on occasion take cruises, and they were in a very fine place in Spain,
yeah.
it was an upscale resort in Spain, beautiful villa mm. settings, and they get off the ship and they make their way to the
yep.
villa
the
complex, whatever it was called, but it's just beautiful, and they get in there and they want to take a shower and there's no water.
There
they
you
said
go.
So they went down to the front desk and said, there's no water in the room, and he said, no, there's no water, water's tomorrow. And the guy complained. He says,
that ought to be a slogan, water's tomorrow.
Well, my stepbrother threw a fit, of course. You know, it's like, we just traveled. We're filthy, dirty. We're just like, how can we do that? And they turned it on for 15 minutes for them. And they said, you Americans use too much water.
That's right.
Now, this was a very expensive resort, very expensive, in Spain. It looked very sophisticated, and there was no water.
There was an interesting little diagram I saw that helped me put this in perspective. I fly a lot, and I've put in over a million miles in the air looking down at the earth. And
all those people, huh?
Well, yeah, it's empty. Trust me, guys, if you get up in the air, you'll realize the planet is still empty. And the guy got interested in it, and he did a study. If we took the entire population of the Earth today and you packed them into a city or an area with the same density as New York City, which is a lot more than I'm happy with, but if you were to do that, the entire population of the world would fit in a space the size of the state of Texas.
Well, Don, you are just not getting with the sustainable development.
It has not.
That reality.
It has not reached me yet.
No.
What's the problem?
God said, be fruitful and multiply. Exactly. God's word. God is not ignorant of what this earth can hold as a
Absolutely.
Capacity. The resources are here for our use and our benefit, and we are to benefit from them.
We're to husband them prudently, no doubt. No
Take
question
dominion.
About that. We have an obligation.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Take dominion over it. But we are taught and enforced into the concept of scarcity.
Yep, that's
and we
right.
have to believe the concept of scarcity to accept these laws and dangerous pieces of legislation like this as having any validity at all. And that's the type of elected officials we have right now in the state of Oklahoma that they have adopted and swallowed a scarcity
mentality.
Agenda.
Yeah, that's exactly
mentality.
Right.
And there is none.
There isn't. And if you look at it with any objective, activity or even any common sense, the rationale just melts. I mean, not to use a water analogy again, but it's really pretty astonishing that guys can sit in a room with each other long enough to begin to believe that this is real.
And that this would be considered good conservative policy.
Yeah.
Well, it conserves all right, but it's not conservative in the generally accepted understanding of that word.
That's right.
So there we go. And so what we're asking for people to do is to look up House Bill 3055 for yourself so that you become informed.
Read it. You won't believe it, but read it.
Read it. You won't believe it. Call your elected official in the state of Oklahoma. If you go to oklegislature.gov, oklegislature.gov, the website and all their contact information is available there, and then you can go there and find your own elected official, and by golly, you should already know who that is.
That's right.
You know, your House rep and your state senator.
That's right.
This is not a federal issue. This is a state issue.
That's right.
Those people are home during now because
That's
we're
right.
in the interim break. You can invite them out for a cup of coffee and ask them what the heck they were doing.
That's right.
And then you get to talk with your friends and neighbors, and we would be asking you for your support. We're trying to find an organization to head up the petition for referendum to get this bill vetoed in the state of Oklahoma. And Don, I think we can do it.
I hope we can, and it's good practice anyway. Even if this effort were to fail, we need to learn how to do that, because if we don't start stopping and rolling back some of this legislation, there won't be any way to recover it.
The gentleman who looked this up and found it was actually, it was Mark Croucher who found this when he was going there
That's right.
another issue, and this has been used successfully already in the state of Oklahoma. But it's
a long time ago,
in the 70s.
Right.
But guess what? The legislators don't like to let you know that you can do this.
That's true.
Is legal to do this.
That's right.
And there are going to be a lot of laws that we can reverse. If the governor fails to protect the people of Oklahoma, the people of Oklahoma do have recourse. This is it.
It would be fascinating to develop a pattern of reversing bad legislation. I think that it would change the dialogue in politics entirely if we can accomplish that.
If enough people can realize the power does
reside
with the
people. And it only takes 50,000 signatures, and you can put it on the ballot. Now, even if the people around you, your neighbors, can't be made to see the light on everything, at least they're going to have enough common sense to see the light on some of these.
They can, and it really won't take a majority of the people to do so, because we have 3.5 million people to choose from. So
that's true.
We just got to find the 55,000 that are willing to take us to make the signature and then get it on the ballot in November. Well, we want to thank you for listening for today's program. This has been America in the Balance, and we could call this Oklahoma in the Balance, couldn't we?
There you go, yeah.
This is Oklahoma in the Balance because we are in deep trouble in this state.
Unbalanced.
Unbalanced. That would be describing the legislature. Anyway, Amanda T. Garden in studio with Don Wyatt. We thank you for listening to this hour of America in the Balance. Take action on this item. May God bless you.